my girlfriend's friend, Rowan, is drinking Coke Zero and things like that. And she runs marathons, and she's a lawyer. And you know, I tell her that stuff's very dangerous. You know, you got to stop drinking it. It'd actually even be better to drink the regular Coke than the aspartame flavored one. Not right. That's good at all.
Right.
And I was wondering, what would you tell somebody who doesn't know anything about it, and give them the info that they'd need to kind of push them over the edge and just go, you know what, I don't think I'm going to buy another bottle of that.
You know, the first thing that you tell people is this is very well documented, very well researched, and it has been proven to be true. Usually, especially intelligent people who work with, you know, lots of documents and they need a lot of evidence and proof, that they're going to look at you like, all right, let me listen to you. Because, you know, it's not your opinion and it's not just another complaint, you know, that people are throwing out there. It is true science, very respectable science. And then when you tell people that this is extremely political, they seem to listen and pay attention to that as well, and I'm sure you know that, and you know, with doing your radio show. So much in our modern time is so politically tied that when people realize that this issue is political, they will listen, because everything right now is political. All of the good things seem to be swept past, under the carpet. And what is seeming to rule this world is profit and arrogance and control. So that's what I usually tell people. Look, I almost died from it, but let me tell you, it is a true, valid concern. And if they want to listen, then you can give them the research and you can give them some of the history. It surprises me, Vinny, that people don't want to know. You would think that they would want to know if they were doing something that was causing them headaches, to lose their hair, to actually gain weight. The diet sweeteners have been proven in the lab to cause weight gain. And, you know, and most people have headaches. When they ingest aspartame, they'll get a headache right in the middle of their forehead, right about that third eye there where the blood-brain barrier is. You start telling them about the symptoms, and they start to think, maybe that's what's causing my headaches, because they'll have them. So
that's not the only symptom, though, is it?
You know, aspartame can penetrate into the brain, so it goes bloodborne. And once it gets into the brain center, it can create, it's just a loose cannon. It usually goes for the weak link in someone's body. If they're predisposed to diabetes, it's going to break that down. If they're predisposed to migraine headaches anyway, it's going to make the headaches worse. So what happens is that when you put a toxin in the body, if you put a toxin anywhere, let's say you're running a toxin through a water hose, that toxin is going to find the hole in the hose, the weak spot of the hose, to come out. So when you have a weakness in your body, whether it's genetic or you've had a car accident or, you know, and so your body had been a little broken up at one time, whether your eyes were bad, you've got, you know, you have to wear glasses. If you have a weakness anywhere in your body, when you ingest toxins day after day after day, those toxins will go to the weak links and break those down first, and so they'll make that worse. Typically, aspartame will cause headaches, vision problems, some dizziness, vertigo. Those are the most common reactions. Children will get these, and you know, they get grumpy because they don't feel well. But after you've used this toxin year after year after year, it then begins to saturate the glands in the brain and the glands in the body. So you begin to have weight problems, libido problems. You can't sleep as well. So it just sort of exacerbates itself. There's over 92 documented symptomatic reactions to aspartame on record. And that's a lot.
Sorry. How many?
92. I would say that the symptoms that we are seeing as chronic health issues worldwide are going to be the ones that are going to have aspartame at the root of them. Aspartame causes cancer. That has been proven. It causes brain tumors. That has been proven. And we're seeing more and more people, having brain tumors. And they're blaming it on cell phones and stuff. Okay. But is the person drinking a Diet Cola while they're on the cell phone? I mean, which one is it, you know? Do they exacerbate one another? Does the aspartame weaken the body so the cell phone can get in? We've got so much coming at us with so little good information, we really don't have any good science anymore.
Are there any binary effects? Like, I don't know, like on the movie, what was it called? Die Hard with a Vengeance, they had this explosive, and either substance by itself, nothing. You know, you transport them easy, but you mix them, and it's a deadly explosive. Is there anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to blow your mind. Two things. One is when in the laboratory, Petri dish, when you mix saccharin with aspartame, both in the powdered form, okay, it will reach boiling point. So if you're consuming a product, which I call the sweetener blends, where everybody has pouted, so each of these companies has a little piece of the pie, so there's two or three or four of the different diet sweeteners all in one product, okay? Everybody's had a little piece. So when you have a product that contains both saccharin and aspartame, it will reach boiling point by the time it gets to your bladder and your kidneys. And so, golly gee, we're having all this kidney disease and we're having all these bladder infections with people and all of this incontinence. Now, see, it starts to all make sense. We have all this incontinence problems and all these drugs for incontinence. Well, if people are using both aspartame and saccharin in the same day, they're boiling their bladder. Okay, here's another one. The other one is, as I have talked with forensic anthropologists and I've talked with actually county coroners, when they have a body and they do an autopsy on that body, they can tell if that person was an alcoholic, right? Because their liver has very, very high formaldehyde levels, and their liver is actually pickled or preserved, correct? From methanol.
Yeah.
When people have autopsies performed on them and they are not alcoholics, but they have been drinking diet products every day, all day for 20, 30 years, their liver looks exactly like an alcoholic's. How many people do you know that give it to their little two-year-old? Here, take a sip of mommy's Diet Cola.
I know people that give them a 2.25-liter bottle of Coke Zero.
And how many pregnant women are drinking it during pregnancy? So that baby's life begins with a very toxic, dangerous, carcinogenic element that puts a hole in their brain. And then we wonder, we've got this rise in autism, we have this rise in bipolar, we have this rise in phobias, we have a rise in depression and suicides. I mean, I could go on with it and get depressed. So many children with ADHD and ADD. But yet, Mayor Bloomberg wants to take the regular colas out of the school and leave the diet colas in the school. What I try to do is promote the data that is 100% supported by documents and evidence. Because I feel, because this is a debate, and we are debating against some very, very powerful people, if you continue to stay focused on what you know is true and cannot be covered up or debated, then you're going to keep the debate on a real good positive move forward. The history of this particular topic sources to a handful of very arrogant individuals, mostly male, who I don't think have respect for people. I think they think they're better than others, and they have no regard for human life. And they look at everyone with a dollar tag on their forehead. And I think that they looked at something that they could make a lot of money on off of people. I think that it stroked their arrogance and their ego. And when they realized how easy this was, that it was like sheep coming to the slaughter, I think that their arrogance grew, and I think their greed grew. And I think it's to the point now to where these key players, Robert Shapiro, Donald Rumsfeld, they have taken their money and they've scrammed, because I think that they're wusses, and I think that they know that this is going to come down, and when it comes down, they're going to run and hide. And I think that's where we are right now. I think Shapiro and Rumsfeld are going to hide from this, and I think when this particular aspartame issue does become public and it comes down, I think you're going to see the rats jumping off the ship.
Basically, if you ever look at the American Medical Journal, I think it was maybe four or five years ago, they published an article studying psychopathy, and the description of a psychopath was very interesting. A very nice, rather well-polished, intoxicating mm-hmm. individual who brings you in, and you kind of admire them, but they don't have terribly large amounts of relationships outside of business, no long-lasting ones anyway, and they have no concern for anybody other than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the three likely industries that the journal said that you are to find these people is business, media, and politics.
Yeah.
And just recently, there's a great documentary that's come out called I Am Fishhead, where they had a look at the people who were responsible in no small part for the financial crisis, for instance. And
mm-hmm.
what they've determined is that being a psychopath and having that kind of what we would call an emotional handicap in the industries, on the other hand, are actually a leg up, as it were, because they sabotage people that are above them in order to get their job. They lie and manipulate in order to get them way up there. Because if you want to do something honestly, with integrity, it'll often takes time. If you want to do something dishonestly and psychopathically, you don't have to wait around for achievements or any kind of moral ethic to give you your input before you act. And
right.
if you understand that mentality, suddenly a lot more of government and businesses and media makes more sense, or at least to me it does anyway. Because you see the symptomology and you see the effect of it in our financial industry and in our politics. You know, these people who lie endlessly and yet continue to benefit from lies and manipulation endlessly as well. And they're not called up on it. And it's true what you say. We are coming to that point where these lies will be revealed en masse. And there are so many, not just aspartame, that are kind of like coursing its way all through our society, our entire medical industry, the media, blah, 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 blah. It's a big, big can of worms. And I think now it's about time to feed that can of worms to the fishes.
Now I think it's up to the masses to say no more. We're going to make changes. And it's like your girlfriend's mate who is drinking these Coke Zeros like they were bottles of water. My question to her now would be, I would ask her this, Benny, why? Why are you drinking this crap? Is it a psychological thing? Do you have a weight issue? Do you have an eating disorder? Do you have an issue with your self-esteem? Why are you drinking this stuff? Here is the data to say that it's bad. why do you continue to do it? And until that friend of your girlfriend's stops drinking the Diet Cola, the manufacturers of the Diet Cola are going to keep making it and selling it. So my point is this. I think we have reached a point in human evolution and in human history to where the masses are going to have to stand up and go, why am I continuing to take this? Why am I doing this repetitively, day after day, just being a trained monkey and a sheep? And so for your girlfriend's friend, that would be my question. You're an intelligent lawyer. Why do you continue to drink this stuff? Come on, you know it's bad for you. And I would throw the accountability back on her. And once she comes to terms with that accountability, then that's when she'll stop using it. And then that's when these corporations are going to start breaking down. When each of us as individuals change, and then culturally we change, and as the masses we change, I think all we have to do is stand up to this corruption and just say, no more. And I think, again, it'll fall down like a house of cards.